I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
So, one of the biggest things during quarantine was the versus battles.
Right.
All of us hip-hop fans gathered around our phones.
And R&B.
Yeah, hip-hop and R&B. Our phones and our television to watch matchups with artists who would play songs, their individual songs against each other. And, you know, us, the fans, would vote and say who would won. Although I've noticed towards the end, nobody really cares who won. It's just more about
after,
the experience.
I think after a certain point, it started becoming, what's the word that's being used? A celebration. It just becoming a celebration of the music that was put out in those, in that particular period that is being showcased that night.
Yeah, facts. So the verses now, it's,
you know, although I think last night smoked Patti LaBelle.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I personally think, and that's probably more so that I'm a more Glass Knight fan than Patti LaBelle. But I love Patti LaBelle.
I agree.
I love If You Only Knew.
I agree. But If You Only Knew, that's a hard song. But so, you know, it was started by Swiss Beatz and Timbaland. They were the first verses, if anybody remembers that. But so now, you know, artists, it's getting to a point now because so many artists either don't want to do it or do want to do it.
Time out. Are we finna talk about Busta?
You dang right we are.
All right, okay.
Not as frequent as before. So Busta Rhymes, apparently, from what Swiss Beatz said, has been wanting to do a verses.
I've been knowing that for a while.
But nobody has, you know, taking up his challenge. So Busta Rhymes has been on a press tour promoting a new album. I didn't know he had coming out. Extinction Level.
I didn't know he had it until somebody told me.
I do know it's called Extinction Level Event 2, which, once again, I hate when artists do sequels.
I didn't know that. And now I don't want to hear the album.
So,
just because of the title, I don't want to hear
it. Especially when the album that's sequeling is like amazing. Like, people, you remember, there's a Doggy Style 2 from Snoop Dogg. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's Doggy Style 2.
I don't want to know where I've been because I don't want to hear that album.
Last two years?
I don't want to hear that album.
Yeah, see? You don't need a dog stop. But anyway, Busta Rhymes issued a challenge to T.I.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know.
Which I thought was awkward, but okay.
And I quote, he said, you know, you're a king, I'm a god.
Well, he said, you're a king, I'm a king. You know what? I'm a god.
Yeah. He said, match up our catalogs. And once again, I'm quoting, I will bust your ass. That's what Busta said. T.I. responded by saying, I didn't know we were going backwards generationally. Like, I respect you. You're a great artist. That's what this is T.I. saying. You're a great artist, but I don't feel like it's fair for me to match up against you when you have, you know, almost 10 years on me musically.
Almost.
Which isn't fair because if you count Leaders of the New School, that was like 92, 91.
Yeah.
And T.I. popped up.
Well, like, trap music came. If we're starting at trap music or if we start starting at, I'm serious.
It was 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, still.
And trap music was 03.
03. So that's like 10. It's like 10-year difference. So T.I.'s argument is like, hey, bro, you already got 10 years on me. It's going to be more of a generational battle. That doesn't seem fair, which I kind of agree with.
I definitely agree with,
because it does come to a point where,
and regional bias.
Because I have an older brother, and you have an older brother too. They will be more inclined to maybe lean towards Busta because they were there for they were of age when Busta was at his peak.
And they were there for like, it's just another case of that old PTA.
Exactly. So it's a different type of level of, you know, reverence for that. But us with T.I., like we were there for like Urban Legend and trap music T.I.
Like,
so
I was a freshman in high school when trap music came out.
When I was a junior when Urban Legend came out. So Urban Legend to me is like one of my top 10 favorite hip-hop albums. Like, I love Urban Legend.
Look, bro. Oh, my God. I can't even.
So the challenge was issued and T.I. turned it down. Busta and him kind of went back. It's funny. Their back and forth was never like disrespectful. It was always like, hey, I respect you. But, you know.
Busta was kind of disrespectful.
What'd he say?
The second one? Or when he replied to T.I. saying it's more of a generational battle?
The second one.
Yeah, Busta's his reply to T.I. saying it was a generational battle and him coming out and saying...
T.I. said, you know, you better off going against somebody like LL. He said, T.I. also said that I hooked him up with LL. Like,
yeah, and then Busta coming out, you mentioning LL and all that. Just say, you know, you don't want to be in a smoky section with me and, you know, you just scared and you don't want to do it. To me, that was kind of disrespectful because I felt like you, what T.I. was saying, like, it's more of a... generational gap that any, if you saying it's a generational gap, just say, you know, you just, you know, you just running from the ass whooping. That's quoting Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, that's quoting Busta.
But like, yeah, I felt like, yo, bro, do you not realize who you are as Busta Rhymes? Do you, I'm with Taxstone. Like, you've literally snuck in every era of rap since you've been in it. Like, you snuck in this one with a whole single with Trippie Redd.
Facts.
Which is like a sequel to a song that you did nearly a decade ago.
Facts.
Like, so do you not realize what T.I. is saying? Like, when you take into account how long ago the song Dangerous was compared to when, let's say, Dope Boys in the Trap came out. Do you not realize the time difference and
difference.
The style of rap in between times up until that point? Like, yeah, bro. A lot of us are going to run. When we hear Dangerous, we're going to run off nostalgia. And we're going, oh, I remember Dangerous. I remember the video. Or when you play Gimme Some Mo', you're not going to realize that we're all going to reference the video of Gimme Some Mo' and realize where we were when we saw the video and where we were in that point in time. Like, yeah, bro, you have a whole generational gap over T.I. Like, that's, yeah, to me it was weird. Like, that's not fair.
And it does seem like the verses have been more artists that are matched up musically when they were like
somewhere at least in the same area.
Well, they were kind of running together. Yeah. You could say that Manny Fresh and Scott Storch were still kind of running together. Or they were different sides of like the musical spectrum, but they were still, when Scott Storch was really getting his footing and making big beats, Manny Fresh was still Cash Money.
Yeah, and then Cash Money,
Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight coming up together. Well, who else? T-Pain and Lil Jon. Like,
T-Pain and Lil Jon. Even Teddy Riley and Babyface.
Yeah, like,
when Teddy Riley was really getting, like, you...
They were both on Bobby Brown's album.
Like, yeah, they was, like, when Teddy Riley was really getting his footing and making his name, like, Babyface was right there neck and neck getting his footing and making his name as a writer, producer.
You know, if T.I. was petty, you know what he should do if he did Battle Buster? Which apparently he said it now, he's saying he's down to do it. I guess he's tired of Busta talking. He's like, yeah, whatever, let's do it. But I play, you know what it is. Off T.I. versus T.I.P. The Busta was on that song. I was like, oh, that's what we're doing. I just play it. No, he wasn't. He went on that one. He was on.
He was on something. I can't
that song remember. With Alpha Mega.
Put Him in the Dirt.
Put Him in the Dirt. Busta was on that one. I play that. That'd be the first song I start off with. Like,
hurt, Put Him in the Dirt. Granted, it was a hard song.
It was a hard song. Yeah, man.
He was an informant.
But, you know, yeah, you know.
He was an informant after T.I. had been busted for the guns.
Yeah, I know.
He was an informant after it came. That came out after T.I. was busted for the guns.
I know, that was wild.
That's what made it bad.
I liked Alpha Mega too, but boy, that
is. That was a hard, matter of fact, that mixtape was hard, but which after, one? I don't remember the name of it, but it's on my external hard drive.
Was it Drama? DJ Drama?
It was a Gangsta Grills. It was a Gangsta Grills. But that was a hard mixtape, but then after that news broke, it was like, I don't want to listen to that no more.
Facts. But no, going back, like even said, like with Busta T.I., I agree because it wouldn't make sense for me. If I was an artist, I wouldn't want to battle somebody who I was. Because, okay, Kanye once said that his biggest competition when he was at his peak, like graduation, late registration, was Justin Timberlake. He said Justin Timberlake is like operating on a very high level at this point. So as an artist, I would want to go against somebody who I felt during my reign was operating at a high level.
Well, I'll do you one better. I understood why T.I. wanted to go against 50 Cent. Because T.I. was looking at it like, well, we both came in
2003.
In 2003. Trap music came out in 2003. Your debut album came out in 2003. Our reigns as top tier artists at the time was at the same time. So, yeah, I wanna go against you. It's the... he made it a more north against the south type of thing, New York versus the south. But I understood that, like, no, we both were really... coming into our own and at our peak at the same time. So yeah, I think you are my competition.
With that type of matchup too, the underlying thing would be his history. Like
yeah.
whose music catalog matches up better years after the fact? Because at the time, everybody would say 50 Cent Fifty Cent was the bigger artist. But let's see how your music sounds now.
Which is what people said about 50 Cent versus Kanye West.
Exactly. How does it sound now? Because Kanye West's music back then sounds better than 50 Cent's music. Granted, most albums aren't better than Get Rich or Die Trying. But outside of that, 50 Cent is fair game.
Granted, Massacre wasn't that bad. Neither was Curtis or Before I Self-Destruct. But they were not
Get Rich or Die Trying. That is the one. But so I get why T.I. was like, yo, bro, when telling Buster, like, yo, when you were in Leaves of New School, I was like in high school. Like, it's not fair for me to.
I wasn't trying to rap. I was trapping, not rapping.
It's not fair for me to go against you if the music that you were making, I wasn't even in the game at that point. With that being said, so out of left field, which should have happened long ago in my opinion, Jeffrey Jenkins, a.k.a. Young Jeezy.
Can't ban the snowman.
Issued a challenge to T.I. saying, hey, like, I see you talking, you asking a lot of people for challenges. I ain't heard you say me yet.
Granted, T.I. did make a video saying, I see a lot of y'all asking for me and Jeezy. And if the snowman is down for it, I'm with it, but he hasn't said anything. So if he hasn't said anything, then I'm not going to say anything until he says anything. So I think that's what prompted Jeezy to say, hey, yo, hey, fam, I'm ready for it, which I'm looking forward to because I got T.I. in it, but I don't think it will be a walk in the park for T.I. as you.
I think Jeezy be paying attention. You know, Jeezy about to get his own talk show, which, God, I never would have thought.
I hope it's not with Jenny. Is it with Jenny?
No, but it's a daytime talk show.
I never thought.
When I first heard, if you could take me back to 2000,
I don't want to see it. Don't say it. I don't want to see it.
Never would have thought.
No.
That Young Jeezy would be the next Steve Harvey.
I don't want to see it.
With an all white audience.
I don't want to see the guy that said he got certain things for 17.5.
The bricks for 17.5, bruh.
On daytime on CBS.
I don't know what's gonna be up.
I'm just throwing out a station. TV. But I don't want to see him like on NBC doing.
I think it's called the Jay.
I don't want to know what it's called.
It's not the Young Jeezy show, I tell you.
He rapped alongside a guy named Blood Raw. I don't want to see him on daytime talk show, bro.
Blood Raw. But,
I don't.
But yeah, so now the next verse.
He had kids getting suspended from school for t-shirts.
Facts.
I don't want to see him on daytime television.
That's
what
the Can't Ban the Snowman mixtape came
from. I know quite a few people got banned. Got suspended from school because of that shirt.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, coming up on November 19th, T.I. versus Jeezy on Versus.
I got T.I., but I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park.
It's not going to be.
And you and our friend of the show, O, tried to convince me that T.I. is going to wash him, man. He going to wash him.
I don't think he'll wash him.
He going to wash him. Jeezy not playing nothing from the mixtape. I bet you. Jeezy plays something from Trap or Die and Can't Ban the Snowman. Either one of those mixtapes, because those are his two most notable mixtapes. Anything after that, I don't think he's going to play. But he's at least playing the song Trap or Die that was on the mixtape, Trap or Die. He's at least playing that. He has to play that.
I don't think there's rules against doing that either. T.I. got some mixtape songs too. Don't forget, Down with the King was a hard mixtape.
It was, and most of the songs that he has with Jeezy are on T.I. projects.
Facts. Also, I don't think about Down with the King, and most of the songs end up being Urban Legend.
Kill two birds with one stone.
But I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. Once again, it comes down to sequencing. Yeah. What do you start off with? What do you end with? Like I hate when, like we said, we clowned about Busta. I said, Busta's going to do his verses and start playing stuff from like 3 years ago. We're like, bro, come, what is this?
Busta's definitely playing A-Rod Money if he gets into a
Busta's going to end his verses with his verse on Look At Me Now, because whatever.
He's definitely going to do that.
Like, bro, come on.
He's definitely playing A-Rod Money, and I'm going to be like, you know what? Whoever he's going against, take it. Just run away with it. Because now that song didn't age at all.
But like T.I. said, if Busta plays Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See, how do I compete with that? I wouldn't even put that music at that point.
If he plays Wuha, how do I compete with what? Compete with what does T.I. have in his arsenal that can compete? What does he have to compete with the remix to Wuha?
I will say though,
ODB, like,
to be play devil's advocate, and we can also move on after this. T.I. is not wrong in his argument about generationally, but Snoop Dogg and DMX went up against each other, and Snoop Dogg came out at least 6 years before DMX.
Yeah,
the Doggy Style came out '93. Snoop first popped out '92.
That
his Dark and Hell's High came out '99.
But I think that worked well because I think DMX coming out later had songs that could match up with what Snoop played. And I would think with Busta, now saying that, I think it would depend on what Busta plays versus what T.I. plays. Because Busta's definitely playing the song he has with Mariah Carey. Baby, if you give it to me,
you better.
I'll give it to you.
So for the last 2 weeks, me and Fresh have been talking about the Austin City Limits Festival.
Oh man, we keeping up with this?
This last time we're gonna bring it up. Last time we spoke on the last show, we spoke about the fact that ACL had reached out to people at the station KTX, saying that what we said about them not adding the hip hop acts or reaching out to them was false. So last week we said, okay, well, we would love to have a conversation with you guys to hopefully try to rectify the situation and get a better understanding of it. Just to give you an update on it, we have not talked to anybody from ACL. And so, which is very unfortunate because we did definitely want to have a conversation to help give you guys a better understanding. But I guess ACL's position as it stands is that they don't want to talk about it and they hope that it blows over. So, yeah.
It's going to be a very short segment because I have nothing to say to that. Like you said,
I thought you had something to say.
I mean, just like you said, we haven't heard. We put the proposition out there. I promoted it via socials that we had it out there, that we put the proposition out there for them to hear. And we even said that in the initial conversation before we even got on air last week that we wanted to talk. So so here it is going on 2 weeks, and we haven't heard a word back. So, I mean, I guess they don't want to have that discussion further, which, in my opinion, tells me that y'all are cool with how things are with the way you do things. Which, if that's how it is with y'all, then I don't want to say cool, but if that's how y'all want things to be, then prepare yourselves for more backlash. Y'all better get y'all PR team, public relations teams, ready to get them to push out them press statements, because more backlash will come if, like, you live in a city that touts itself as the most diverse city and county within the entire state of Texas. Y'all know how big the state of Texas is?
Yeah, facts.
I'm saying, like, land-wise, it's the biggest. Land-wise, next to Alaska, it's the biggest state in the country.
I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, if I say that I feel a way about something and I put it out publicly, I want to at some point have a conversation with somebody or some entity. And the fact that they knew that, as far as I know, that we want to have a conversation, like I said, we put it out there publicly, we want to have a conversation, just to get a better understanding. It's not even so much because we're trying to, like, force them to, you know, change up their practices, just to get an understanding of why the approach was the way it was.
It's a simple conversation.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to, as of right now, it's not happened yet. And the reason why me and Fresh are so passionate, are concerned about these type of things, is because, once again, the whole purpose of the breaks is to fight for hip-hop, whether it be a national or local. It's 85% local and 15% nationally. And so when we see a big festival like ACL, which is a huge festival, highly respected festival.
It's one of the top festivals in the nation. I've literally seen it on several top festivals to, like, frequent in the nation.
Exactly.
From several different websites.
We wouldn't be who we were if we didn't want to have that conversation. And we still want to have that conversation. We're open to have that conversation anytime they want to. Like, as it stands, it seems like they don't want to have that, which, once again, reason why it's unfortunate is because a lot of the issues that this city has when it comes to music and representation is the fact that most people don't want to talk about it or want to brush it under the rug.
It's a very uncomfortable conversation to have when you haven't faced your privilege.
They have the opinion that if we don't talk about it, it'll eventually blow over and nobody else will bring it back up. But once again, me and Fresh wouldn't be who we were, not just on the breaks, but just as people, black people, if we didn't keep pressing the issue every chance we got. So, you know, for them to not reach out just yet to us directly is, once again, very important.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our first segment of the night. unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All right. So, I am black, as most of you already know.
I didn't notice that.
You know, I'm a little Panamanian in there, too. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know you were black.
Little Latinx in there.
So many black people here in Cave, Texas, you blend in so well.
Yeah, I try. I do identify as black, not African-American. If you want to know why I say that, just ask me off mic. But as a black man, I went to an HBCU, for those who are unfamiliar, that is an historically black college and university. I went to Prairie View A&M, which was founded in 1876, which is the second oldest state institution in the state of Texas, behind Texas A&M University. Yes, we are older than the University of Texas. They came like 5 years later or something like that. We are written into the Constitution that we are supposed to get the same amount of money as A&M and UT, but we don't.
That ain't happening.
But anyway, that's not my unpopular opinion. As I was saying, as a black man and just as a black person in America, and going to a HBCU and going to public school in a city like Austin, Texas, for 12 years of my life, you know, I once heard the famous quote from the revolutionary Assata Shakur say that the system that teaches you isn't basically the system that teaches you. The schools that we go to aren't going to teach you how to overthrow them. The system is predicated on teaching us knowledge and skills to help build a better system that is already in place, or enhance the system that is already in place. Yeah. So most of my life in my home, my late grandmother, Elaine Lodia Williams, was a member of the Black Panther Party. And she made it a point to teach us black history in her house and know our history and know where we come from and know things that were important to us as blacks in America. So I always thought that I would go to an HBCU. Although as a kid, I did have aspirations of going to UT, which I applied and got in, just chose not to go. Just to put that out there. But I ended up at Prairie View A&M University. As I said, it's an HBCU. And one of the big things at an HBCU is homecoming. And homecoming this year for every HBCU across the country was basically canceled. Well, except for HT, because they have a spring homecoming. But
theirs
hasn't happened yet. But if COVID continues the way it does in the state of Texas, they won't have one.
Yeah,
no. So my unpopular opinion tonight is homecoming in college means way more than homecoming in high school. In high school, homecoming is just a fun week. It's just a fun week. Like you dress up crazy. You do like throwback day, or you do like tacky day, or you do some off-brand thing that you dress crazy throughout the week. And you know, homecoming is supposed to be the day that brings out all the alumni. But in high school, especially in the state of Texas, you know, you see the girls walking around with the mums. Like in Texas, like I learned that only in Texas do we do mums, and I still don't know the purpose of a mum. Like, even being in high school and seeing my mother make them for a girl, I don't know the purpose of a mom. But, like, in high school, it seems like that homecoming is for those who are still attending the school and those who are still going through school. Like, freshmen enjoy homecoming way more than alumni enjoy homecoming. But in college, especially at an HBCU, yes, those that are attending the university or college at that time, they enjoy homecoming. But in college, you really realize what homecoming is about. You really get the notion of homecoming. Whether you graduated or whether you just attended for several years, as I did, homecoming is something that you look forward to every year. And I've been looking forward to homecoming every year since I have left the great University of Prairie View A&M. And I just have never been back because I'm always here at KUTX giving you all the number one hip-hop and R&B show in the city. So I have sacrificed attending homecoming for the greater good that is the breaks. But homecoming in college, especially for, like I said, for HBCU, means something greatly. And in 2020, we really saw how greatly and endearing homecoming and how much homecoming means to us with, like I said, literally every the hundreds of HBCUs across the country have canceled homecoming or canceled their football season or delayed their football season. But like when you are in college and you have either left or you've graduated college and you go back to homecoming, it is a great thing, and it is a great thing to experience. And like I said, you realize homecoming means homecoming. This is for me. This ain't for y'all that's still paying tuition. This is for me. This is for me who has gone through the rigmarole, the everyday struggle that has sat in financial aid. Because no matter what HBCU you go to, you sitting in that financial aid office first day of class. No matter which one you go to. All y'all that HT that say you didn't sit, you lying. No matter which one you're going to, you are there, bruh. You are there. You probably there all week, because I have sat there literally all week to figure out what was going on with my financial aid and my student loans. But like, you go through all of that, and so then you get to the finish line and you're done and you've graduated, and then to come back and see all of the love, and you have all of this school spirit and this pride. Homecoming really means homecoming. It's a celebration for you. It's a celebration for you who have sat in the hour, in the 50-minute classes, in the hour and a half classes, and you sat in the financial aid, and you were all in the student center, and you went to the step shows, and you was kicking it out on the yard or the walkway or the walk or whatever, or the promenade or whatever everybody wanted or anybody wanted to call it on their campus. Or you was in a student center and you spent the $200 to $500 on a book, one book for a class, and all of that. The homecoming is for you. So my unpopular opinion is when you're in college, especially at a HBCU, homecoming is just a great celebration. And it means way more in college than it does in high school. And that is my unpopular opinion. And now it is that time of the night, ladies and gentlemen, where we get a little bit of knowledge that we gained at the beginning of the show. And here is Confucius Says with the one and only, the myth, the man,
the myth,
the legend himself. You kind of a myth out here, bro. Like, people don't know you. They just know you do a show with me. And then people are like, I want to meet Confucius. Yeah, I don't think I ever met that brother. Yeah, then I'd be kind of envious of me, and I'd be like, dang.
I about to say the N-word. I said, yeah, I'll meet me. I just don't talk to you. Just be in the room chilling.
Then I'd be sitting back like, dang. Everybody know me. Everybody holds him in such high regard. Like, dang, should I not just come out anymore? I should just start coming out. But anyway, here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
I'm not a myth, man. I just don't.
No, look, he's a myth. It'd be people that be wanting to meet him, and y'all just don't know. Y'all will never meet him. I mean, you said or y'all will see him, and he's just not going to talk to y'all.
Hey, look, I do my job.
He's not going to talk to y'all. That's what that means.
I do my job. I'll tell you that. You know, so. But, yeah, so if anybody follows me on Twitter, I already told you my Confucius Says is going to be about. So. With the breaks, me and Fresh once again created a show, a platform, a brand that we hold to a very high esteem. We wanted to showcase the best talent in the city, play the best music, and represent radio in a way that Austin has never seen before. Me and Fresh, being from the city, the inspiration for the breaks was saying, like, hey, we think radio in Austin, hip hop and R&B wise, can be better. So we created the breaks. We have a lot of dealings with a lot of different artists. Fresh, before he introduced Confucius Says segment, said that a lot of artists want to meet me and Fresh. A lot of artists do reach out to us. We get emails all the time, DMs, email, everything. People, artists want to have a relationship with us.
Literally,
a lot of artists, everything.
Whether
it be management, artists directly, friends, whatever, we get all kind of stuff. And that's fine. No, we're not knocking that. when I say that we hold ourselves to a high standard, we were told once we got here to make sure that we showcase artists that have something going for themselves so that when we play them on the radio, they bring some type of listenership with them. Me and Fresh sometimes don't always follow that. Some artists we do play on here don't have much of a listening at all. We always bring up Naomi. Naomi, nobody knew who Naomi was when we played her. Naomi had nothing but friends listening to her. But now Naomi is one of the top artists in the city, R&B-wise. Jay Soldier. Jay Soldier's been doing the music for a long time. When we first started playing him, you know, he was still trying to get a little traction, but now he's one of the top artists in the city. Quinn NFN. Quinn NFN is one of the most popular artists in the city. We were playing his stuff before he ever put out Talking My Ass. But that standard also requires a type of accountability. One thing me and Fresh do not play about, we don't care how good your song is. We don't care how many people you know. We don't care how many shows you've done. One thing me and Fresh do not play about is violence against women. If you're an artist in this city, and we've talked about this before, this is not the first time I've brought this up.
We've talked about this several times before.
I keep having to bring it up because I keep hearing about it.
Man, you know what? Go keep going.
If you have accusations against you for violence against women or sexual assault of any kind, you will not be played or showcased in any of me and Fresh's anything involving the breaks. If it's South by South breaks, if it's Love Lockdown, if it's Summer Jam, or if it's this show that you're listening to right now, podcast or live, you will not be anywhere near us. Granted, I say accusations because most rape accusations and violence against women aren't confirmed by convictions. A lot of it is just accusations. But because me and Fresh like to lean towards the believing in women, we don't take a chance on that. There are a handful of artists in this city who have had those accusations leveled against them.
Man.
I'm not going to say their names.
Way too many.
Way too many of y'all have those. And we immediately distance ourselves from you. Man. And what's sad is that y'all think we won't hear about it. If you have an accusation leveled at you by a woman, whether you hit her or did something sexual to her that you should have done.
That's enough for me, man.
If you want to plead your case, please do. We'll listen to you.
You're not doing it here.
We're just not going to play your music.
Not doing it here. You're not coming up here and pleading.
Yeah, that's not. No, you're not doing it. Yeah, you better have a side to the side conversation.
You better take that to the other program.
We're not doing that over here. If you got evidence or her on tape saying like that's not what happened, we can have a conversation. But outside of this, like, well, she's lying. No, we're not playing your music. We don't play that. Have you heard Tory Lanez since he shot Megan Thee Stallion?
I'm honestly tired of talking about that.
Exactly. So, no, we don't play that. So, if you have those accusations against you, you will not be played, period. I don't care who you're dealing with. I don't care who you know. I don't care who your manager is. I don't care if we played you before. You will not be played up here, period. So, stop it. Stop. Don't even think about it. If you have that, don't even ask why. What happened to my music being played up here? Why don't the breaks follow me? No, because you have those accusations.
Think long and hard.
It's not happening. So, once again, we hold ourselves to a very high standard. I know people out there are like, bro, that has nothing to do with the music. Whatever. Kiss my ass.
It does to us.
We hold ourselves. We have principles. My mother's black. My daughter's black. My sisters are black. It has something to do with me. So no, we don't do that. And you don't have to even be black. I don't care what happened. Any woman. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, man.
Fresh is not doing it.
Nah.
So yeah, that is my Confucius says. Any violence against women, any sexual assault against women, you will not be played or supported by The Breaks. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.